Psalm 77, one verse, verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you this morning, and we just ask that you let your spirit instruct our heart. Lord, that you would open our hearts and souls, our minds, and just let your word penetrate deep inside. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You can all be seated. Probably a good time for us, and I preached on this text probably close to 2 years ago, but I thought it was just timely as I was going through my Bible last night and looking at my intended sermon and was just scanning through some different passages, and I came back to this passage again, and it was like, you know what, we just can't shake this. It's a good time for us. Is the body of Christ to remember. Remembrance is a very powerful tool that we have locked inside of us. And I'll give you this. There are some things in my life that I would rather forget. 28 years of public safety work. Yesterday, where Sharice and I, we ventured out into the great unknown. We went to the Dollar General store. And going to the Dollar General store on any given day is an adventure in and of itself once you get in there because of some of the people you meet. But we go to the Dollar General and we leave and I pull out. I'm coming back up 41. And as I pull out, I look in my rearview mirror, make sure I got enough room between me and the guy that is back there. And as soon as I pull out, I noticed something. I noticed a car behind me. It's way back there. And then there's a car pulling a great big boat. And buddy, let me tell you what. It was like instantaneous. I remembered something from probably, I'm going to guess it's probably close to 18 years ago. Accident that I worked on Highway 90 just outside of Marianna. Multiple critical patients. I'm on the back of, and it's just like I was there. I remembered laying across the trunk of this car trying to intubate this girl who was going into cardiac arrest. And I couldn't get her intubated. And she went into cardiac arrest. And at that point, I had to make a decision. I've got four other patients that desperately need my attention. And I had to call her. I had to say, she's gone. There's nothing we can do. And move on to the other four patients. Remembrance can be joyful and it can be brutal in life. George Santayana is attributed with the famous quote, "Those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it." And that's such a true statement for us. The things that we go through in life, you know, we can't ever forget some of those things. As desperately and as hard as we want to, as broken as some of the things that we remember about our past make us, we can't remember because, remembrance is one of those things that points us to what lies forward, to where we've come from. And it seems that throughout history, it has been and it will continue to be true and true, that if we forget, if we forget the past, it's doomed to repeat us. Song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. It's called Remember to Remember. Well, I've been looking back over my shoulder, retracing every step, trying to unforget. And I see the mountaintops I've journeyed over, and I see the valleys deep where I crawled on my hands and knees. Pages and memories filled with joy and stained with tears. They call my name, and if I listen, I can hear them saying, remember the way he led you up to the top of the mountain. Remember the way he carried you through the deepest dark. Remember his promises for every step on the road ahead. Look where you've been and where you're going, and remember to remember. And now I'm looking out at the road that's waiting, but my eyes can only see so far out ahead of me. As sure as the sun will shine, there'll be more mountains I will climb. and more deep, dark shadowlands where desperate faith is all I have. Until I'm home, I'm resting all my hope and trust in the only one whose name is God with us. Remember the way he led us up to the top of the highest mountain. Remember the way he carried us through the deepest dark. Remember his promise for every step on the road ahead. Look where we've been and where we're going, and remember to remember. Remember the day is coming when he's going to wipe the tears away. He'll look in our eyes and say, remember the way I led you off the mountain. Remember the way I carried you. Today is a good day to remember. Probably a good day to remember a lot of things for some of us. You know, there's not too many people left that remember that time when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, bringing this nation into World War II. We remember the time, and that's one of those times that we remember that, you know, really it brings us a tear. But then we remember a time when the United States beat the Russians in ice hockey and the Miracle on Ice in the 1980 Olympics, and the joy that we had as individuals, and how proud we felt as Americans that we beat the Russians in ice hockey. We remember 1991 when terrorists flew planes into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon in a field in western Pennsylvania, and thousands of people lost their lives. We remember as a nation when we were the first ones to put a man on the moon. And you know what? Years from now, we're going to remember that time in 2020 when there was a terrible plague that spread across the world, this coronavirus. We're going to remember how everybody ran out and bought toilet paper for some unknown reason. We're going to remember how we saw the selfishness and self-centeredness of millions of people when they didn't even leave enough for their fellow people, for their fellow man. But yet at the same time, we're going to remember, hopefully, how it drew families back together. I was telling Logan this morning that, we haven't been too far off base here at Romeo. I want y'all to remember that for a while there, we tried having the family campouts out here on a Friday night, and we'd spend the night out here, and we'd eat out here, and we just have a good time out here. Well, you know what's funny? It's amazing how so many families now are posting on Facebook that they're having family campouts in their front yard. We've been telling you that for years.
Family movie night.
The movie nights. Families are getting together and they're having popcorn on the floor and putting their blankets and their pillows out and have a movie night. And we've been doing it for 2 years now with minimal results. People, we're going to remember these things. And you know what? It's my prayer that 20 years from now, we look back, and I've been praying every day, multiple times a day. I keep praying, Lord, just bring revival. Let it bring revival, oh God. So when we look back in 20 years, we go, yeah, remember when in 2020, when the coronavirus hit, God brought revival to this land, to this nation, to people's hearts, to families. See, remembrance is on a personal level for all of us. There are things that some of us have gone through just in the last 8 months. Let's just take the last 8 months. There are things that we have gone through that we will never forget. We will always remember them. You go to any kind of family gathering. Go to a family reunion. And you will hear the word remember multiple times in just a few short hours. Sometimes you go to church functions and you hear multiple times, yeah, back remember when so-and-so was pastor here? Remember back when this happened and we put this addition on the church and we did this and we did that? Remember that time back in 1964 when blah, 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 blah happened? See, remembrance is powerful. Remembrance is important for us as Christians and as individuals. You know, I take my family, for instance. We cannot get together on any Thanksgiving without somebody in my family looking up saying, remember that Thanksgiving? And we all start laughing because we know right where it's going. Remember that Thanksgiving when Grandma got so mad at everybody and she cussed us all and she ran outside and she ate a hot dog in her camper?
That was his family.
Yeah. My wife is saying that. That was your family. Not mine. You know, all the things we remember, you know, about my grandmother, that's the one thing that we remember. Really? But, you know, at the same time, I remember my wife and I being the last ones to see my grandmother alive and praying with her, even though she was unconscious. Wow. How drastically our memories flop. Remember the time when me and my brother got left home on a Saturday morning? Florida Championship Wrestling was on. Dusty Rhodes versus Terry Funk Jr. And we destroyed a couch and a chair and a couple other miscellaneous things. I'll never forget what my mom did when she got home to either. Remember fights with cousins in Alabama, getting beamed with crab apples so hard I have welts on my back for 3-4 weeks. And I know my dad has a memory of his that actually made it onto the big screen in a very popular 80s movie. It's so out there, we can't even discuss it. But it made it onto the big screen in a comedy movie. It's even written in a book. I can't tell you because it's bad. And that leads me to the whole point. We know our own stories. We know our stories. And I bet you and your families and your kids and your grandkids, I bet you could sit and you could cry for hours upon hours about the absolutely crazy, just idiotic, side-splitting tales that come from your family and your family's past. And friends, we do the same thing. I remember, y'all remember Taman that was here several years ago. Me and Taman one night had a friend go into a bathroom at an Arby's and down there by Young Circle. The Romanos know where I'm talking about. There's an Arby's down there. And one of our friends went in the bathroom. The bathrooms are out on the outside of the building. So what did we do? We backed the car right up to the door so he couldn't get out. And then we just let the clutch out and just burned the tires until there was a thick black smoke. It looked like the whole Arby's was on fire. And he's in there banging and screaming, let me out! He's choking and everything. We thought that was the funniest thing in the world. You know, there are those other things, though, that, like I said before, sometimes we just want to forget. We don't want to remember our sin from the past. We don't want to remember the things that put us in those positions that leave us with those memories. There are some things that we don't dare tell anybody else. There are things that we don't even want to let come forth out of our mouths. Because sometimes it says a lot about who we used to be. It's some of those things are embarrassing, they're inappropriate. Things that make us not so proud. And then there are those ones that just break our hearts over and over and over again. But wait a second, it's not all that bad. Because sometimes we have those memories. You know, we talk about the funny ones. We talk about the ones that we don't want to remember. But then again, we have those memories that, and they're just awesome. They're the greatest memories that we can ever have as a human being. I remember my first kiss with my wife. I remember my wedding day. I remember the birth of my children. I remember just the days that I got to sit and watch my children grow up. The day I was ordained into the ministry, when my family and I were commissioned to go to China by the mission board, the weddings of my children, the births of my grandchildren. And like all of y'all, there are just so many more that if I just sat for a short time, it would bring an eternal smile to my face. I remember one night, 1991, November, it was City of Fort Lauderdale Fire Station number 35, right on Commercial Boulevard. It was late at night, and after several months of having the hounds of heaven pursue me for so many years, that great distance narrowed down, and the hounds caught their prey, and I was taken captive by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They're just laying in the bed with the Word of God. And I know that it was that night because I wrote it down. And I wrote it down so that I would always remember. I would always remember. So what are you remembering today from the past? What do you want to remember in the days ahead? And as I look at our text, I think it would do us a whole lot of good. It would do us well to remember our Creator, our Sustainer, our Savior. If we forget everything else that happens to us in this life, if our memories are wiped clean right now, from now back all the way to your earliest memories, if everything is wiped clean, let us not ever forget the great God of whom we belong. Let us never forget the salvation that we've experienced in our lives. Now, I want us to just look at a couple things from this text this morning. And we read that one verse, but let's real quick, let's just go back and read the whole of Psalm 77. Starting in verse 1, Psalm 77. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart that my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your peoples, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled, the clouds poured out water, the skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know, we see a lot going on. I mean, I could spend weeks just preaching on this chapter. But I want to point out, as we work our way down towards 11, I want to point out some of the things that he's saying. He's saying, I cry aloud to God. And he said, God will hear me. He points out, and then the day of trouble, that he would seek the Lord. In the night, his hand will stretch out without wearying. And when we get to that part, I think of someone just, oh God, beseeching his God, his arms constantly, continually up, looking for his God, seeking his Lord in that day of trouble. And he says, my hands are up and they're not even wearing. I'm not bringing them down, Lord. My soul refuses to be comforted. And he says, I remember God and I moan. When was the last time you moaned in your spirit for God, for the things of God? When was the last time we shed a tear because of either the distress that we find ourselves in, that we're not as close to him as we should be, or the great joy that we have in knowing him? When was the last time any one of us lost a wink of sleep in the night? Because he says here, the Lord, you hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I can't even speak. When was the last night we had like that was like that? And he says, let me remember my song. Let me remember my song. Paul and Silas there in Philippi in the jail were praying and singing hymns through the night. They were so troubled. And then he goes on and he says, let me meditate my heart. Let my spirit make a diligent search for you, God. And he says, how long? And essentially, when we look at verses 7 all the way down, he's like, how long, Lord? How long? How long will you spurn? Will there never be any favor for us? Has your steadfast love ceased? Your promises, are they gone forever? Have you forgotten to be gracious, O God? And then something happens in verse 10. He says, I'll appeal to this, the years of the right hand of the Most High. Something gets him to stop there, and he goes, wait a second, I'm going to think back. And in verse 11, I'll remember the deeds of the Lord. See, the first thing we need to remember is who God is. See, Israel seemed to always forget who God was. They were so busy complaining and moaning and whining and griping. They were so busy being focused on themselves, being self-centered. See, the Israelites, those are those guys that would have gone out and bought all the toilet paper. They're the guys who are going to go buy all the baby formula and not even have any children. You know what I'm saying? That's just how they were. They always seem to forget God. And when you forget God, listen, you forget common sense and you become selfish and self-centered and self-righteous. Who's our text about? It's about the Lord. And listen, in light of all this that's going on in the world, have you forgotten who God is? Because at the end of the day, I said it last week, at the end of the day, you can put a hazmat suit on
and go everywhere you need to go and still get coronavirus and still drop dead. Because God is sovereign. Nothing is going to happen to you outside of His sovereign will. Now, I'm not saying go out and be stupid. Did y'all see the one where the girl licked the toilet seat in the airplane on an international flight to make a point? I'm like, you're an idiot. We're not going to tempt God. Yeah, really? But we're going to remember who God is in days like this. How much different would the Israelites' journey to the Promised Land been had they remembered God? See, when we remember God, you know the interesting thing that happens? All of a sudden, for some of y'all, and I hope this sinks in, when we remember God, those 15 or 20 different sermons on the attributes of God that I preached like 2 years ago, all of a sudden that stuff starts coming back. All of a sudden, you start remembering that God is omnipotent, that God is omniscient. You start remembering that He is a God of mercy and justice, a God of wrath, a God of kindness, a God of goodness. See, we need to remember who our God is. And that's what He's saying here. I will remember my God. And if you're not remembering Him, let's just ask a question. What are you remembering? Every one of us today has reason to sit and look back and remember who God is in our life. Just from what He's done for us. And that brings up the second point. We need, not only do we need to remember who God is, but we need to remember what God has done. Man, Israelites, they're taken out of Egypt by a great deliverance. All the plagues come down upon the Egyptians. Egypt is destroyed. Their army is chasing after them. The Egyptians meet them essentially right there at the Red Sea. God opens up the Red Sea and brings the Israelites through safely. And then the waters come down upon the Egyptians. And they forgot it. Because right after that, what takes place? They're grumbling and complaining and whining again. Right after that, they're worshiping the golden calves. How can this be? Could they forget that quickly, that easily, what God had done for them in their deliverance from Egypt? What do? I remembered everything that God had done. I remember that. Well, listen, y'all been places and He's delivered you. And you're walking around like He hasn't. We need to step back and remember God's deeds in our lives. We need to step back and remember those wonders of old from the Bible. If you've done idiotic things like me and been spared, that's God's deeds that have done that. God's gracious and merciful deeds He's done in our lives. Do we remember them? Most of the time we don't, because we're so caught up in our own little worlds. We're so distracted by what's going on with me and mine and my own little things that are going on that we forget the things that God has done. And as much as we want to make out that life is about us and what we have done, it's not about us. It's about what God has done in our lives. Listen, there was no humanly possible way for my family, one, to survive on one income for the years that our children were little. My wife didn't go to work until, it was 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. Yeah, it was about 2000. It was about 2008. So from 1989, when Nick was born, until 2008, we survived on one income. Five kids. Let me tell you what. That was all God and what He had done in our lives. There was no humanly possible way for a family of seven to move to mainland China for 2 years. That was God. That was God intervening and doing that in our lives. That was nothing about us, but it was everything about God and what God can do. Listen, it's the same with all of y'all. You think about the great things that have taken place in your life. It's all been about God and what He did and what He's done and what He's going to do. And if I've done anything right, which if you ask my wife and my kids, they're going to say it's very limited. But if I've done anything right in my life, it's been because of Christ in me, the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, empowering me, strengthening me, leading me. And it's the same for all of us. It's what God is doing in us. And I'll tell you what, this whole thing that's going on now, the whole corona thing, God's going to do something. Somehow, some way, God's going to be glorified. He's going to get something done during this crisis. Are you willing to be the tool that He uses to accomplish these things? See, we can let a lot of things paralyze us, but bottom line is, God's going to get it done. And He's either going to get it done with you or without you. And listen, I just think it's so important for us today to take a step back and remember. I think it's a good opportunity for us to say that to ourselves. We need to remember to remember. We need to remember who God is. I don't serve some dead Buddha thing that's still buried in some tomb somewhere. I don't serve some tiki guy standing in the South Pacific somewhere that's a piece of wood. I serve the living God. I serve the God who casts the stars up into the skies. So when this text here says, I will remember the deeds of God, I'm going to remember who my God is. I'm going to remember what He's done. And I have the best tool ever. I can look back and see that He's always been the God who is. He's always been the great I am. He's always been the sovereign God over all creation. And I can look back and I can see every deed that He accomplished from the beginning of time as we know it and understand that God has done that. The next thing I see is, we need to remember who we were before and where God has brought you from. See, the Jews knew it. The Jews knew who they were. When we look in Deuteronomy chapter 7, we find something very interesting in verses 6 through 8. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. They knew who they were. And believe me, they'd flaunt it all the time. We're the seed of Abraham. They knew who they were, and they knew where God had brought them from. You and I would probably do pretty well to stop And remember who we were before. Remember where God has brought us from. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that you were at a time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's who we were before. That's who we were. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. It does us some good sometimes to remember where we've been. Remember where we've come from. Because what happens when we do that is we remember who our God is. And we remember what God has done in our lives. Last thing is this. We need to remember who we are now and what our future is. Do you know who you are right now? Do y'all have any clue who you are right now at this moment? Well, I'm Rob Hess. I'm Diane Robbins. I'm Jim Dietrich. See, while the world's out there running around like chickens with their head cut off, buying up all the toilet paper and everything else, we step back and we remember who we are. See, because when we look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. See this whole thing that's going on in our world right now? Listen, like I told you last week, I'm not anxious about it because I know who I am. I'm aggravated right now, like a lot of people are. But listen, at the end of the day, if I catch coronavirus, oh God, just take me quick. Lord, just make it quick and bring me home. See, because I know that I'm of his chosen race, of his royal priesthood. That's my future too. And y'all know me, I've been real transparent. I've struggled with the issue of my mortality here in the last couple months. But at the end of the day, listen, God's sovereign. People go to the doctor's office and they wait for doctor's reports and they go, well, I don't know, it might be bad, I could be dying. You're dying anyways! Every one of us in this room, whether this body is physically perfect or not, we are dying daily. That's just the ugly truth of it. But yet at the same time, as we are dying in this body, we're getting a whole lot closer to having that redeemed body, that body like Christ had at the resurrection. We're getting closer to an eternity without illness and sickness and death and sin and all those things. That's our future. See, the Israelites, the people of God, his chosen people, they never recovered. When we look at the end of the Old Testament, the people of God never recovered. They never attained to their former glory. They never came back to that standing that they had before. And in Christ's coming, it got even worse for them because now They're going backwards. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. And as we look in Romans chapter 11, we see that. Romans chapter 11, verse 8. He says, as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. Verse 25, where he says, lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. I don't even know that the Israelites remember who they are. See, we stand in a place today, and I'm preaching to myself here. We can either be in a place today where everything that's going on just aggravates us and gets us worked up and makes us anxious, makes us lose our minds. Or we can take a step back and we can remember who God is. We can take a step back, and even in light of all this that's going on, we can begin to remember all that God has done for us. Remember who we were before. Remember where God has brought us from. Remember who we are now and the future that we have with Him. I've struggled with... I probably struggled this week more than any other week with the impact that this is going to make. Two things. One, the church at large. What kind of impact is all this going to have on churches? Because I tell you what, you give the average person a good 4 or 5 weeks of not having to go to church, just watch it on TV, and guess what they're going to be doing for probably the rest of their lives? They're going to be sitting back watching it on TV, never participating in an act of worship again. I'll even go as far as say, a good majority of people, after about 2 weeks, they won't come to church anymore. They'll just watch it on TV. They'll watch it on their computer. So I struggle with how this is going to affect the church. I also struggle with how this is going to affect Romeo. Because we're small enough as it is. And honestly, if Christians don't step up and be the church, there's going to be a lot of church doors that could close. And that's why it's so important that we step back and we remember all that God has done. This is going to be a pivotal time in the life of the church. And how are we going to respond? What are we going to do? And that's only a question that y'all can ask yourselves. I know what it means for me, personally. But now we have to ask the question, what does it mean to the church? We need to be in prayer that God would bring revival to this community, to this church, to this county, to this state, to this nation. And we need to be actively engaging in the work
of the gospel everywhere we go. Let's pray, Father.
Lord, I don't know what your plan is. But I know that what I see in Scripture is you are actively at work. Father, when I look down through the pages of Scripture, I see you engaged in a work with your people. And yet many times I see that your people just rebel against you. Father, let us not grow weary. Let us not grow faint. Let us not grow stubborn and lazy and lackadaisical during this time. Stir us, O God, to be more passionate, more zealous about the work of the gospel that we're called to do. Father, do a work in us today that changes us. May your Spirit do a mighty work. In Christ's name.